Let's begin. Last class, we called this the Feast of the Firstborn. We're going to give this a fancy name this time, the Feast of the Firstborn number two. Yeah. Now, I should be able to get through this. All right, what I want to do is I want to look at some scriptures in Luke chapter 14. And I want to follow these down for at least 10 verses, maybe a little more than that. And I want to show you this pattern of the feast that we've been talking about. And I want to show you a progressive thing, or not even, well, yeah, progressive. But I want to show you stages of this that the Lord is dealing on different levels, but with the same truth of the feast. All right, Luke 14, starting with verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade him and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them who sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right. So, you know, this relates to a feast, and the feast that we've been talking about is the Feast of the Firstborn, or probably the best way to put it, though I'm going to stick with the title I made, is the Feast of the Lamb, because that's what the Exodus was. And that's what it was when Jesus died, and he said, take this, this is my body. This is, eat me, take of me, and put me on the inside of you, not just as my Savior on the external that delivered you from bondage, but as the life that you now live as the firstborn, bring him unto me, give him unto me. Okay? So, he's using an example of that which is not that. Someone goes to the feast and they start taking a higher seat. Okay, that's apparently they're either not eating the lamb or they're not digesting it. In other words, someone can be feeding you the lamb and you're not digesting it. So that's the point. You put it in you and it starts becoming part of who you are. It strengthens and fills and satisfies and all of these kind of things. All right, so the story is about that which is not eating, or is eating but not digesting the lamb, and therefore what's it going to do? What's that person going to do? They're going to take the higher seat automatically. Well, I deserve it. I've done more. People know I should sit here. I'm respected. I should be honored. Da 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 da. Everything that is the opposite of the lamb. But Jesus said, the lamb said, you know, when you come to a feast, if it's going to be a feast of the lamb, the feast of the firstborn, you need to take the lower seat. Because if you don't, you're the exact opposite of what the feast represents. Take, eat. This is my body. Put it in you. To Israel, eat the lamb. And that's why they didn't come out with weapons and they didn't fight their way out and all this kind of stuff. They were weak. They were lowly and God did it. Okay. All right. And then verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors. Wish I had a few of those, but I don't. Lest they also bid thee again. Okay, so it's not really, I mean, the subject isn't what we would think, maybe. He's not saying don't hang out with the rich or whatever. It's not what he's saying. He's saying Don't do it. Do it in a manner that opens the door for you to have wrong motives to get something back from all of these people. You know, well, we'll have a big feast and it'll be so good that everybody will want to, you know, and think highly of us and whatever. Nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense be made thee. And when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, I'm going to look down here because this was unintentional, but it's on the same page, I think. Praise God. I got it. It's right here. It's the Lord knows what he's doing. Don't turn there, but I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 15:10. You can write that down if you want to. Thou shalt surely give him. This is talking about giving to the poor or giving to the needy. Thou shalt surely give him, meaning give to him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand to do. He's saying, when you do something for somebody, when you do something for somebody, don't at the moment or later be grieved over how much you gave or, you know, that you know, it cost you or whatever. But do this thing without that. And it says that the Lord shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand to do. Okay, so this is going along with what the Lamb here is telling us in Luke is if there is no reward, if you're not doing it for a reward, and when you bless, you don't think about the loss. In other words, has anybody ever, you know, the example I can think of just comes to my mind. Anybody ever, when you got saved and everything, and then you felt guilty, and so you threw away all your music, all your CDs, and you said, I'm a Christian now. And then like 6 months later, you go, dang, why did I do that? You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go back on it. Give it heartily. Give it to the Lord. And, well, the Lamb is telling us to do that. But it's more than that, because this is from start to finish, this is continually talking about a feast. And so is verse 12. So is verse 8 through 11. Both of them, different stories about a feast. And the Passover feast is, you're eating the lamb, so give the father his firstborn. Or you can be Israel and just rejoice that you're delivered from bondage and praise God and I'm happy I'm saved. Okay? All right. And if there is, you don't do it for a reward, then you're doing it just because it's the lamb. Just because it's the firstborn in you. All right. Because you can do that without it being him. And that's when you start going back on it and being grieved. You know. All right. Now, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat, you notice this is always having to do with the feast. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Yes, this is so charismatic church service or something here. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Okay. This guy totally missed what Jesus has said up to this point and totally does not understand the Exodus, where he came from, all Israel came from, his foundation. They were slaves. They were not a nation. They became a nation when they came out of Egypt. And where they came from was through the death of a lamb that gave himself. And then God said, eat that. Put it in. Okay. Blessed is he that eateth bread in the kingdom. He has a wrong view of blessedness. It is more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to lamb than to old man. It's more blessed to the mind of to have the mind of Christ than the carnal mind. It is more blessed to be God and others centered than self-centered. It is more blessed to give than receive. Blessed. Blessed are those who are at the feast, and they shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, you know, you're not even going to be there, because your spirit is just the opposite of what we're talking about and what it's about. And everything Jesus would never talk this way because he's a lamb. I think he might if you stand before God one day and he goes, okay, look, I said this to you and you did this. I said this. You never thought that, never became your mind. This is your mind. And then you're wondering why you're over here with the goats. Remember, I shall divide the sheep from the goats. Why am I over here with the goats? I was good. This isn't right. This isn't fair. Well, if you've been saying that your whole life down here, guess what you're going to do there? You're going to be herding the goats up and you're going, this isn't fair! I'm innocent! Because we didn't listen to him down here, we're not going to listen to him then. We'll contest his word to the last. All right, so verse 16. Do you notice almost every verse has its own version of the feast? Here's verse 16. Then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper. Here we go. And bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. This is a certain man. Is that a familiar phrase to anybody? Who is the certain man in the prodigal son story? He was the father. And the father is bidding us to come to the feast and bring the firstborn. Please, bring the lamb. And we just want to go to a feast and eat and say, wow, that was a great time. It's, remember all the scriptures we read in Exodus? Every one of them said it is a feast unto the Lord. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about us giving him the firstborn son that he wants. It's a feast unto the Father. All right, so they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go see it. Okay, so we all know that's how you buy property, is you go buy it and then you go look at it. Or this is an excuse. Because that's not how you do it. You'd make a terrible real estate agent. Anyway. Another said, this verse 19, at the end of that he said, I pray thee, have me excused. Let my excuse satisfy you. Verse 19, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. So you're going to prove them after you buy them. Nobody does that. You want to make sure you're getting something that's going to work. You get there and a bunch of skinny scrub cattle. Sorry for my Texan there, but that's just old scrub cattle. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and what, are you going to go meet her or something? Yeah, and therefore I cannot come. So basically you've got the father saying, I'm having a feast, and I even saw it differently. I saw him, the father, saying, I'm going to have a feast. I'm going to have a big feast, and it's going to be, we're going to all fellowship over the lamb that we eat. And this is going to be, it's going to be a feast of the firstborn. And this, and we're all going to come to this feast. And it's going to glorify the Lamb that was in them that gave himself. And the Lamb in them is my son, my firstborn. And he's going to glorify me. And we're just going to have a great time fellowshipping in this spirit and in this nature. And then his servants come and say, well, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. All right. Does that sound familiar at all to anything? You can take the elder son in the prodigal son story, and he wouldn't go in, and the father has to go out and try to entreat him to come into the feast, and he wouldn't do it. Well, how about the firstborn coming out of Egypt? God said, give me my son, my firstborn son, and I want him to come to me. And what did they do when they got out in the wilderness? They murmured, they complained, they didn't give him his firstborn son. They didn't act like they had lamb in them at all, at all. They wouldn't enter the lamb. Yeah, the feast. So they didn't enter the feast. And that's where we were talking about last week, he had to start making provision for the failure of the firstborn that should have been his firstborn son. But now, clearly, they're not firstborn. So he takes that and he puts it on another. And that's the story of what we shared last week. So this is a feast of joining, a feast of fellowship. This is communion, right? Do I have that down here? Yeah, I think I do. Good grief. Well, I guess we're not too far off. Verse 21. So that servant came back and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. Woo! Praise God! There's room! Do we want to fill it? Would we like to fill it? Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. All right, so he's saying, go find the unworthy so that they can come in and have communion. They can come in and have communion with me. They can come in and have fellowship with me over the slain lamb. Not over their deliverance. Not over their deliverance, Israel, over the slain lamb, the firstborn. That's what he's wanting. That's the feast. That's what he's calling us to. If we don't hear that, we're going, I'll show up. I'm hungry. Well, I got news for you. You better like lamb because that's what he's going to serve you. Okay. So spiritually, on a worldwide basis, when Jesus came, that's basically what he did, because the Jews, as a whole, didn't respond. And so, like Paul says, I go to the Gentiles and the unworthy ones. The unworthy ones were called in. That was, I started to say us, but that was y'all. That was the unworthy ones were you don't come into communion because you're worthy. The unworthy thing that it talks about in communion, which I've talked about time and time again, is that you're looking at yourself based on your unworthiness and not based on the lamb and feasting on the lamb and eating the lamb, just your sin. So you're examining your sin, which he didn't say in the context of that. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, this is the faith, and this is just getting delivered and, covered and everything else. So can I say, it's not about being worthy, it's about the Lamb being worthy. But if you believe that, you need to eat it, right? Because it's not about, worthy is the Lamb. I mean, you get that progression in the book of Revelation. Come up here, everything's bad down here. The churches are all messed up. Jesus has to correct them, but he can't even show up and talk to them. He has to write them letters. That's how far off they are. So a door is opened in heaven, you know, so they go up there, or John goes up there, and there's a slaughtered lamb on the throne, and they're worshiping. Everybody's worshiping the lamb. Well, you'd think that's the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. So then it goes on, and there's probably several progressions when I shared on this I left out. But in chapter 14, then, finally there's a smaller group, not, you know, a number that can't be numbered, but 144,000, which, you know, we try to figure that out. It just means there's a smaller group who are really going to eat the lamb and follow the lamb whithersoever he goeth. See? And then it moves on from there, and just to go to the very end without some of the other stages, it's the angel saying, the messenger saying to John, have you seen the bride, the wife of the Lamb? It's been reduced down to one. Now, the one are many because we're all part of that, if we're all part of that. But now it's just the wife of the Lamb. It's not without numbers, not 144,000. It's not, you know, the other progressions. It is that which, and she was New Jerusalem. Transparent glass. When you looked at her, you could see the Lamb enthroned on the inside of her. And then the Spirit and the bride say, come to this. You know, we go, well, that ain't right. Okay. That's fine. Go with your, you know, be delivered. Be, you know, rejoice in your freedom and all of that stuff. But I don't want to miss out on him. And the scripture says, commemorate this. Make this a memorial throughout all generations, a feast unto the Lord, and we make it a feast unto us. Good. He died pointing to something external to us and said he died so that we wouldn't suffer for our sins. Okay, I'm not done. But I'm almost done. Verse 24, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper or my feast. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, so look what's on Jesus' mind. He says that, and they're not, those people who were bidden that didn't come are not going to taste of my supper. And so now he's walking in real life, not stories, and there's multitudes following him. And the same next, very next sentence, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. All right, well, the first hurdle we always have to get over is, so I have to just hate? So Jesus, if to follow Jesus means I have to hate everybody, you know? No, he's talking about that nature that's within all of us that we accept and we allow and we give place to, that is greedy and selfish and whatever. And if you don't hate that, you got to hate it in you. You got to hate it in them. But we do hate it in them when we see it and it goes against what we want. I hate that. That's wrong. See, we do. But when we do it, we go, no, I'm right. See, we don't hate it. We don't understand what it means to hate all that, but that's what it means. And then he says, and, you know, your own life also. Okay? You cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he said that those men which were bidden shall not taste of my supper. All right, my supper. What's his supper? What's his feast? It's the Lamb, right? Isn't that what it's been every step of the way? And you gotta admire that there's just verse after 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 verse. We've been going through it. It's saying the same thing and using the feast as the premise for everything that happens. Because this is meant to be a feast unto the Lord. And he said it in Exodus, And he said, don't forget this. And when your son says to you, why are we doing this? He's going to say, because there was this innocent lamb that was slaughtered, and we ate of that slaughtered lamb, and we put it on the inside of us. It wasn't good enough just to be one of Israel that got delivered. We wanted the firstborn in us so that we could give the firstborn to the Father. That's what. So, y'all, you know, over here, the goats, you never tasted of my supper. You have tasted and eaten the lamb, and you've given it back. All right, so the Father threw a feast. When Jesus died, the Father threw a feast. It was to celebrate with his Son. You gave your life. You unselfishly were God, and you lowered and lowered and lowered until you literally looked like a criminal and a heretic. And you didn't care because you were doing it for others. And let's feast on that. Let's feast on this, because that's their nature. So they're fellowshipping. This is his son's first communion. Only the Catholics would get that. All right. The Father threw a feast so we could celebrate with the Father. And that's called communion. It's supposed to be this kind of feast. This is what communion's supposed to be all about. It's supposed to be unto God, unto the Father, not just God, unto the Father by the Son, celebrating, you know, take this, eat this, drink this. Hallelujah, it's the life of the Lamb within us. You know, and it's supposed to be all unto him. And the firstborn in us is feasting and fellowshipping with the Father through us. And we're getting in on it because we understand what these things mean. And then I put, speaking of some, but Israel here, but all we got out of it was deliverance from bondage to sin. All we get out of it when we have communion. Oh, thank you that, you know, it's the blood shed for me, and so it's all about me. If you didn't want me to be selfish about it, you shouldn't have said to me, for me. Well, it's not about right wording. Our hearts will guide us wherever our heart is, whether it's to self or it's to him. Okay? So, the Father throws this feast over his Son. And nobody came for the real feast. They only came for the Jewish side of it, the Israel side, not Jewish, but Israel being delivered from bondage. Praise God for communion. We're all delivered from bondage. He threw a feast for his Son, and nobody came. Now we know something, but nobody came to fellowship with him and to join with him in the thing that rejoiced his heart. He said it from the beginning before he did anything and before the Exodus. Give me my Son, my firstborn Son. And he's still saying that to us today. Give me. Stop giving me you as a Christian. Give me my Son. Stop trying to be good and copy only my Son can truly do in a right spirit in you. Give me that. And then let's fellowship over it. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of God who is the Spirit of truth. And he can give us the spirit of this truth and not just the words and the teaching of some guy behind a pulpit. The Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said you'd send us the Spirit of truth. And we've even taken the Holy Spirit and just made him somebody who blesses us with gifts and gives us direction and makes us feel better in our service instead of giving us the Spirit of the truth all the way through the Bible. Father, help us to turn our hearts and not try to stuff more knowledge and depth into our heads. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.